from Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Well, it's nice to be courted, isn't it? And THL will be feeling that way at the moment, won't they?
Yeah, things are holding up over at Tourism Holdings. Look, there's a fair bit of technical stuff that's coming into play now. We'll try and demystify some of that. Unfortunately, the bottom line is that there's probably now an increased chance that another company could be taken out and leave the NZX, and that is an ongoing concern. Okay, so what's going on here? Tourism Holdings, listed business on the NZX, but has business exposures outside of New Zealand as well. Clearly a cyclical business, and COVID was a pretty significant event for them, but we're seeing global tourism recovering, and the future looks pretty positive, I think, for THL. Now, they released an announcement yesterday informing the market that they had received a non-binding indicative offer, so a takeover offer essentially, from a party that the THL board considers to be a credible strategic buyer looking to acquire 100% of the company. Now, that all sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? The problem here, though, the very important other detail is that they already have a takeover offer on the table from a consortium called BGH, a consortium that was received in 2025, and only 2 weeks ago, that consortium improved that offer. So yesterday, as part of the NZX announcement, THL said that they want to remain in negotiations with that initial consortium, BGH, and then they talked a lot about the terms in which they'll continue to engage with, basically trying to keep the terms consistent between the new offerer and the old offerer. So it allows the BGH consortium to continue their due diligence in essentially the same manner. Now, BGH consortium already owns, or sorry, controls 19.9% of THL. That's the highest amount of the company you can own without automatically triggering a mandatory offer. Now, the new offer from BGH, they improved it to $3.10 per share. They originally, back in June 2025, offered $2.30 a share. This undisclosed new buyer has trumped that and pitched their new offer at $3.30 to $3.40, has a number of conditions there. What does this all mean, Mike? Well, at the end of the day, it means you've now got a competitive situation. That's now something the board has to manage. And essentially, in the end of the day, the board has to make a recommendation to shareholders on what they do. I think what we can say, as I said at the beginning, it increases the possibility that a deal is done, but that is by no means a certainty. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, the share price was up 13.3%. $2.89. We've just got to have a watching brief now and see what happens.
Interesting. What do you make of the Australian unemployment number? Headline looks okay, but were there enough jobs being created there? Are things softening up a bit there?
You dig into the weeds. On the face of it, it looks pretty good. You dig into the detail, and maybe it's not quite as good as the headline looks. So we know that Kiwis love to head across the Tasman looking for work, so the state of that labour market is quite relevant. The monthly employment data released yesterday. So the bottom line is that the labour market rebounded in May following what was an unexpectedly soft result in April. So seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell to 4.4%. Now, we're looking here at an unemployment rate in excess of 5%. So it does look a little stronger than the labour market here. They added 40,000 jobs. That was way more than people thought they were going to add. But after you break it down, there was only 5,000 full-time jobs. That was almost all part-time jobs. The underemployment rate, 5.9%. So as I say, it's not quite as perky when you dig down into it, because the April employment number, the employment fell by 18,500 jobs. That's been revised to a fall of 40,000 jobs. There are also maybe some sort of technical issues in there around calculation of population and stuff. So the level of employment in May is actually slightly below where they were at in March. So I guess if you want sort of a big picture snapshot of this, annual employment growth in Australia continues to run behind population growth. So that's probably not the way around that you want that. So there are current challenges for the Aussie economy. So a bit mixed, I think, would be the verdict there.
Righto, numbers.
Okay, it's all good. 52. The Dow Jones is just a smidgen over 52,000. 52,078. It's up 229 points, 0.44%. The S&P 500, though, is down 12 points, 7346, 0.16%. And the NASDAQ sort of hovering around break-even, really. It's down 0.1%, 25,451. The FTSE 100 gained 0.65 overnight, 10,529. The Nikkei had a storming day, up 3,191 points, 4.6%, 72,366. About a 0.25% gain on the Shanghai Composite, 4,120 there. The Aussie market on those employment numbers actually fell a little bit yesterday, 0.68%, down 60 points, 8,748. But we had a good day on the NZX 50, up 92 points, 13,493. One Kiwi dollar, it's still pretty soft, 0.5650 against the US, 0.8167 against the Aussie, 0.4967 euro, 0.4280 against the pound. Japanese yen, 91.42. A quick ad hoc update on Bitcoin, Mike, because it's just dipped under $60,000, hasn't been there for a couple of years, so a few things happening there. Gold, just gone over the 4,000 mark, 4,034. Now, Brent crude, interesting stuff happening here.
There are more ships next week. Sixes next week.
Well, you see, here we go. There's 41 ships apparently went through the Strait overnight. That's officially, unofficially, there could be a few more, but it looks like the Iranians have lobbed a projectile at one of them. And so what we've actually seen, so this is the sort of hiccups that we're going to get, I suspect, over the next few weeks. So Brent has actually gone up $74.89. It's not going to be without incident, isn't the journey back to a normal oil price.
You have a good weekend, mate. Andrew Keller has Shaw and Partners.